This is Free Talk Live, nationally syndicated talk radio that you can control. There's a couple ways you can control the show. You can call in at 1-800-259-9231. Another way you can control the show is to get on our website and submit content that you'd like for us to talk about. And that content gets voted on. You can up or down various articles that you might find interesting, you might like for us to talk about. And I'm your host, Dale.
And I'm Nick.
And I'm Stephanie.
Yeah, so tonight we have several things on the agenda to talk about. We're going to talk about the Obama administration and appealing the gay marriage ruling by I believe it was a federal circuit court judge. We're going to find out a little more about that when we get into it. And when we talk about that, I also want to talk about the whole notion that if they start allowing gay marriages, that it's an expansion of government, which is something I have a personal dispute with. So we'll see what you guys think about that. And if you're a caller and you have an opinion on that topic, please call in and let us know what you think about it. We're also going to talk about five popular safety measures that don't make you any safer. That's by Robert Evans over at crack.com.
Imagine that.
Stephanie, you had something you wanted to talk about tonight.
Yeah, a bunch of different things. But should we launch into the gay marriage topic or the?
Yeah, but I want to hear what is it. I wanted to give people an update about, give them a heads up on what you were going to talk about tonight.
Oh, okay. So, well, a couple of different things. One is a little personal annoyance of mine, going to the store and getting asked for ID when I'm not buying alcohol and I'm with a friend who is.
That's notorious in New Hampshire and especially at New Hampshire liquor stores. I think. So,
yeah.
And I'm sure in a lot of other states too. So maybe people can give us their experience.
Well, it definitely impacts people who are close to the threshold of being over the age of 21 or under the age of 21 a lot more than, say, a lot of 50-year-olds who are out there who presumably they're not going to the store to buy alcohol with young people, unless it's probably their kid or somebody they have custody.
Or unless someone met them outside out of view and said, hey, old-timer, will you slip them a 20? Will you buy me?
That's how I remember it working.
And what else did you want to talk about, Stephanie?
Well, there was like a big sex study that came out. So the results of that are in. We can talk a little bit about them. Some of the shocking conclusions.
Excellent. That sounds fun. Sex sells. So.
Indeed.
So, in Reuters, we had story about the Obama administration appealing the gay marriage ruling. Basically, they decided Tuesday to appeal a judge's rulings that prevented the U.S. government from banning same-sex marriages, a move that could undermine support among President Barack Obama's traditional liberal base ahead of a key election. So does anyone else find that kind of odd? I mean, I don't find it that odd because I'm used to politicians playing all these weird games with numbers and
I think it's
voter bases.
I think it's getting into the political strategy a little bit more than I'd like to, but I think what they're probably looking to do is to appeal to so-called moderate voters or independent voters, people who might be more socially conservative than the liberal base, because based on everything I've been hearing, there's an expectation that the liberal base, the people who are consistently Democratic voters, are not as likely to turn up to the polls in great numbers. There's not a lot of enthusiasm among those people. So I think what they're trying to do is appeal to that swing vote in the middle.
You know, this is a strategy that I'm very familiar with. I used to be fairly involved in politics, and I run for office in California and everything. And they do numbers, and they do polling.
You're taking with Arnold.
Yeah, I have my little Arnold Schwarzenegger story where I got to meet Arnold and everything. Well, they do the strategies, and like there's a certain number of voters that you can just count on. You know, I think there's this notion that, and I'm sure the Obama administration understands this, that the really, really hardcore liberal voters are going to vote for them.
Yeah.
They're going to vote for Democrats across the board.
Even if they're not, like, completely happy with what they're doing, they're still going to say, oh, well, that's the closest.
And when you're incredibly loyal like that, you don't have to work for those votes.
Yeah.
You know, you just have to be not as evil as the Republicans. Or in the other case, if you're a Republican politician, just not be as evil as the Democrats. Always, you know, evil being in the eyes of the beholder.
Well, that's how politics works. I mean, it's like nobody can actually accurately represent you, you know? I mean, how can anyone other than yourself actually agree with you 100% of the time and be your so-called representative? It's just...
Oh, absolutely.
Mistaken idea. So.
Yeah, I always feel like I'm playing a little bit devil's advocate when I talk about these political stories because I don't really care about politics. But
I know. I was going to say, like, when you mentioned that this happened on the federal level, I was like, oh, God, this is the first time I've heard of it. I just stopped paying attention to the...
Yeah, I think I was alerted by Facebook friends.
Well, even
stories like this.
Even being somebody who still takes some interest in the political side... on the federal level, I don't really follow the news as closely coming out of Washington as I used to because it's just depressing. I mean, if it's a big story, I'm going to hear about it anyway. But it's just I think there's very little you can actually do to affect change in Washington D.C. I just don't think there's very much that I, as an individual, am going to be able to do to
you just
to
feel
steer
it
that
feels
ship.
Hopeless and you feel helpless. So what, you know why. Follow it when you can't do anything about it.
Maybe that's something we could talk about a little bit tonight because I feel like, okay, I was one of those people that I used to watch the news really carefully, like not just on the federal level, but like I kind of did watch it on the federal level and then I got disillusioned with that. And so I started paying attention to like New Hampshire news and the more political stuff. I would listen to like NHPR and stuff. And at some point I just realized like, I really don't want to be, like a slave to this anymore, you know?
I know, believe me.
Yeah, that was pretty much when I like kind of dissociated from the entire political process. I just feel like when you're constantly paying attention to that stuff, you're trying to decide who is the less evil of the options or, you know, what bad things they're trying to do to you next. Yeah, it's just it's psychologically it's very chaining, like,
well, it's a lot of trouble for not a lot of gain is really what you're looking at. I mean, you can become very angry about the issues. You can do a little bit to actually affect some change with what's going on. So, I mean, there's a disparity there. You're gonna experience a lot of probably anger and frustration, you know, trying to steer that enormous ship of state, turn it around or sink it, whatever you want to do. And you're probably not going to be able to do very much good. You might be able to blow off a little bit of steam by checking a box at a polling station maybe once every 2 years, and that's about it. And if you're paying close attention, there's a lot more steam than you can blow off.
I call that mental masturbation. You feel better because you're doing something, but you're not really accomplishing much. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, it may have where I see a little bit of value in it is like the people who are kind of on the on the fence, and they're kind of interested in freedom, maybe, but they haven't really been exposed to the ideas or whatever. You can kind of use current news stories to demonstrate to them, like, hey, look, there was another police brutality today. Look what happened. Or look what these politicians are trying to do to you now. They want to, like, do this with your money. They want to pass this law. They want to, like, tax soda or whatever. You know, if you're on top of those things, you can tell people about them, but I don't really find much utility to them other than that.
Well, this is an excellent story about that if you think about it, because it's one of those cases where there's this expectation of politicians to do some good, to make some change that's going to be substantial. And of course, Obama's slogan was all about change.
Oh yeah.
You know,
yes,
hope
we
for
can.
Change or whatever. And here he is, you know, totally failing his base on a really basic issue that they thought was going to, you know, was really important to a lot of, you know, the liberal base. So
in addition to civil liberties and the wars. Basically, I mean, liberal voters have been disappointed with what he's done there. And
because he's exactly the same as Bush, basically.
Pretty
there's
much.
Like almost no difference between them.
Yeah.
But it's so sad
how
they...
The difference is mostly rhetoric.
Yeah.
And not just between him and Bush, but between any Republican and Democrat politician, there's an awful lot of rhetoric, and then they get into office and they move to the middle very quickly.
Well, it's political pragmatism is what it is. I mean, the things that appealed... All you need to retain your office is really to win more than the other guy at the polls. And I think that there's sort of an industry built, as you pointed out, Dale, because you've had some involvement with politics. Politicians, I mean, they have people advising them as to what policies they can act in and to what things they can say in speeches to get more votes come election day. And that's the same whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. You're still selling yourself to the same public.
They expire the base when they're running for office, and then they go for those middle voters, those swing voters. They must call them swing voters. They're the ones that actually choose the election. People, the moderates in the middle.
This is full of dirty metaphors. Selling themselves to the public, swing voters.
So Yeah, we're gonna when we come back in the next segment, we're gonna talk some more about his justifications for completely changing. I don't want to say his.
Oh,
it's
wow.
The Obama administration, so it's nice and the blame is nicely distributed, right? But the idea, we'll talk a little more about the justifications involved. But I want people to be
several days
about.
After the Patriot Act was passed, a printed version was made available for Congress to read. Yes, I said several days after the Patriot Act was passed. But that's not unusual. Congress routinely passes bills that has little or no time to read. I'm Jim Babkin with DownsizedDC.org, and I say it's time for a new American revolution with the slogan, no legislation without representation. Congress cannot claim to be representing us when they don't know what's in the bills they pass. They shouldn't take the words of lobbyists. They shouldn't rely on unelected staff. And they shouldn't take orders from the party leadership because, after all, they're supposed to represent you. At DownsizedDC.org, you'll find a bill that should be the law of the land. It's called the Read the Bills Act. You can read it at our website, DownsizedDC.org. Better yet, you can use our simple system to tell your elected representatives to sponsor the Read the Bills Act. Write it down, DownsizedDC.org.
To ship a vehicle safely from point A to point B, which company should you choose? Easy. Stateway Auto Transport. Why trust Patriot-owned Stateway Auto Transport? Many reasons. Stateway is not just a broker, but a fully licensed and bonded carrier with its own fleet of trucks and $1 million of cargo coverage insurance. With Stateway, your vehicle rides safely on a direct route on the same truck, and your shipment is always door-to-door with no hidden fees, and every shipment includes free online vehicle tracking. Simply put, Stateway Auto Transport is the best, most efficient, quickest, and friendliest worldwide shipper in the business. To receive a free quote from a live customer service representative, call 877-848-7474 or see us online at statewayauto.com. That's statewayauto.com or call 877-848-7474. Ask about discounts for seniors, military, and all GCN listeners. Stateway Auto Transport, your one-stop shop for worldwide vehicle transport.
You may not be thinking of lead and brass as precious metal investments. And you may not be thinking about ammo when we say battery station. But you should, because Battery Station has a large inventory of the most popular calibers. Just go to BatteryStation.com and click on ammunition. There, you'll see where Second Amendment patriots invest in precious metals for .380, 9mm, 40 cal, 45 ACP, 38 Special, 357 Magnum, 223, 30-06, 308, and more. Be sure to look for the October GCN specials in blue boxes, too, at BatteryStation.com. We shoot what we sell, and all Battery Station ammo is all factory. No reloads. You'll enjoy great customer service, great prices, and fast shipping. Plus, all orders over $30 will receive a free patriotic flag. So invest in gold and silver. But don't forget about investing in lead and brass, too, at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799 or go to BatteryStation.com today.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications with low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions. RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
This is Free Talk Live. You can call in and take control at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. SACL CAI has a full-org approach to account recovery. It's really three companies in one that do collections, early out billing, and they purchase charged-off receivables. SACL knows that the way they treat your customer reflects on you. Their staff is respectful, they record every call, and they have the best equipment money can buy, so that your business is handled as efficiently as possible. See their banner at freetalklive.com. Do business with businesses that support FTL. And SACL CAI is also responsible for providing our toll-free line that you can call in at any time, 1-800-259-9231. If you have something to say about the topics we're talking about tonight, or if you have a new topic you'd like to bring up, the callers are always first on Free Talk Live. Again, that number is 1-800-259-9231. And just on the last segment, we were talking about the Obama administration seeking to appeal the gay marriage ruling. So we were going to talk a little bit about the justifications on that. In Reuters, the Obama administration filed a notice of appeal with the U.S. District Court for the District of Massachusetts in support of the 1996 Defense of Marriage Act, or DOMA, that barred gay marriages, even though Obama had previously opposed the law. Although Obama opposes the law, the Justice Department spokeswoman said that the administration was defending the statute because it was obligated to defend federal laws when challenged in court.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Just doing our job, right?
Isn't that lovely? I mean, I'm against this law, but...
But it's the law.
It is the law, and we don't want the courts. Why can't the courts appeal? If you think that if you,
right, it's not the law,
law
anymore because the court overruled it. Right?
The court overrules it. Then you know, it's like there seems to be whenever the courts don't do something. Well, normally I would say if they don't do something that the politicians want, then of course they say, oh, they try to invalidate what the courts are doing. But no, this needs to be an act of Congress. Why? is that, you know, we went through school. I don't know. Didn't you all have political science class? And
yeah.
They talked about
yeah.
the three branches of federal government.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had the executive, the I'm trying to remember what they're all called, the
judicial
and the legislative,
yeah,
right? And the judicial is they're all supposed to be fairly equal and their checks and balances
right.
on each other.
Well,
this
I
is
mean,
one of the checks and balances that the founding fathers claimed was so important, right?
Are they saying that? So they're appealing this to the Supreme Court. Is this what they're doing? Because, I mean...
They are... I'm not sure if the Supreme Court is the very next thing, or
but
what
they're appealing it to a high... If they're appealing it, they're probably going to the next highest court. Basically, they're going to try to fight this until they get the answer they want.
Yeah, we've got a call on the amp line, so let's take that caller,
cool.
and then we will go on from there. Caller? And we've lost him. So, call back if you get a chance to. But, yeah, let's see what they're... A Massachusetts, District of Massachusetts, the District Court, the U.S. District Court.
So
I don't know what's next after that. I'm not that familiar with the structures of the judicial.
If it was a federal, I think it's probably the federal District Court because they're based. There's I forget how many districts, 4 or 5 or something, and they have you know they're sort of placed in the states around the country. But I think the one in Massachusetts rules for. I don't know how many states it is. It's a bunch of the ones in the Northeast. So I'm pretty sure after that...
Well, that's really confusing, because I would think that's something specific to Massachusetts. It's
you would think... I think what they're doing is they're hearing... basically, the district court rulings stand in the district, and they can set precedent until the Supreme Court rules. That's my understanding of how it works. So I think what the government's going to try to do here is... Force, I forget whatever district it is, might be the first district, to basically overturn that ruling so that it applies again in that district.
Okay, I think our caller tried back. So, caller, you are on the air.
Hello. Hi, Stephanie.
Hey, is this Jackie?
Yes, it is.
I recognize your voice. Hello.
What's on your mind tonight,
Hello.
Jackie?
You were just talking about this whole gay marriage thing and the fact that Obama is filing suit to overturn this. And the one thing I've not heard said yet that I feel really needs to be pointed out is that marriage is a state issue. So, I mean, you don't go before the federal courts to get a marriage license. You go before the state court. So it kind of makes me wonder, you know, number one, why is Obama even sticking his nose in it anyway? But how did it get hit any kind of a federal level?
Because it's the law.
Screw
well,
the law. I mean, it's
the
so
people
stupid.
Who
this
want to control
great
it.
Staple, big government.
Right, the people who want to control marriage, and of course, why would you control marriage except to prevent certain people from getting married, right? The people
yeah.
who want to control
right.
marriage just looked for an excuse to say the federal government should get involved and not let states do this, and the whole, or that you can do it, right? But the DOMA, the whole point of DOMA was so that another state who didn't want to recognize gay marriage didn't have to recognize a marriage performed in another state. Because normally they're, I'm trying to remember what the term for it is. I bet Nick knows where one state is supposed to.
Right, yeah. All contracts are supposed to be recognized by other states under the Constitution. And what they're trying to do here is use DOMA to basically say that, well, no, if...
We're going to make an special exception for gays.
Right. If Wyoming... yeah. Or for marriage, however you want to look at it.
But, right. Well, they say it's just for marriage, but obviously it's for gays.
It's for gays. It pretty much is. And it's basically saying that, well, if Wyoming doesn't want to recognize a marriage from the state of New York, then that's one contract that they can just ignore as not being binding in Wyoming because it's binding in New York. And that's... You would need a constitutional amendment to do that, but of course, they don't bother with those constitutional steps anymore. They just pass a law.
Right. It's easier to just... Well, it's hard to pass an amendment, and there's a reason for that, right? It's supposed to be hard.
Well, speaking of... Okay, wasn't there... Okay, so basically this is a conflict between a federal law or something and a state law. But, like, do you guys remember... maybe about a year ago, Obama was promising to stop the DEA raids on California on these co-ops that were selling, you know, medical marijuana and stuff, because he was saying, oh, it's a states' rights thing, even though the federal law conflicts with this, I'm going to stop. He didn't stop it, but, like,
he's
somehow
he
ignored the conflict there, but... is so, you know, adamant about enforcing it here when Massachusetts wants to have gay marriage. And
well, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, basically, I would agree that obviously the federal government doesn't have any jurisdiction over marriage. It's not one of the 17 powers they were given. And it's a pretty short list. It's amazing the number of programs and laws they've been able to enact based on that short list. But if you want to break it down even further... and this is where I feel weird being the first one to say this, since I'm not the anarchist in the room. But
the odd one out.
But that I don't really think that it is a state issue, because I think that marriage is either a private or a religious contract, depending on how you want to look at it. I mean, if you believe in having a government around to enforce contracts, then that's great, enforcing contracts between two consenting adults. But I don't really think the state should have the authority or has any moral authority to tell people who they can enter into contracts with and who they can't.
How do you feel about that, Jackie?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, well, I agree with you wholeheartedly. And one of the things that really just kind of breaks my heart about this whole issue is, you know, one thing that that Obama's forgetting is that the whole reason why government got involved in marriage in the first place was to keep interracial couples from marrying, which is one reason why it resonates with me, because I'm actually the product of an interracial marriage myself. So is President Obama. I mean,
interesting.
If some people got their way, Obama would not exist, because his parents, who are interracial, would never have been able to marry. And so
in fact, that's why. That is the reason. That's how government got into marriages, when it's fairly recent.
Yeah.
The government's actually got into marriages.
Yeah. Jackie, that was a great point. Absolutely. I was going to bring up the same one.
All right. Yeah. Well, Jackie, thank you for the call. And
thank you, guys.
When we come back, we have another caller. So you can call it 1-800-259-9231. Thank you.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com, or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Is it really possible to get out of debt without payment plans or attorneys?
18 years ago, we developed a program that has made thousands debt-free in just 90 days. It's called Zero Debt in 90 Days, and it works for all credit card debt, medical bills, even collection lawsuits.
When I first joined, I was being sued, so I used the program methods and after filing one piece of paper, the collection lawsuit was dismissed.
With zero debt in 90 days, your success is guaranteed in writing. There is no other program of its kind. Don't be alone when creditors gang up on you. Let our team of experts provide the resources to fight back and stop creditors in only 90 days, guaranteed. Prevent wage garnishments, bank levies, and stop collection calls with our proven program. Call Zero Debt in 90 Days now, 800-477-9256, and ask for free information from an expert who also completed our program. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Take a minute and hear what I'm about to tell you. You might have heard about Life Change Tea on a radio commercial or a TV commercial. And you did what many people do. You tuned out. I understand. Now the facts. When health fails, you will do just about anything for better health. So why wait? Read our testimonies of better health by drinking Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com. And how much does missing work cost you when you're sick? Get ahead of the sick curve. Get the tea. Here's how to order. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call one of our friendly operators, 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Our tea tastes great, and we'll help you with your health, and you can even lose weight. So again, try us out at GetTheTea.com.
Are you concerned about dropping or losing your cell phone? Are you tired of dealing with cell phone clips or holsters? Then this message is for you. Introducing Clip Hanger, the best and most affordable cell phone holder on the market, made to keep your phone secure and accessible. Clip Hanger works with all cell phones, including the iPhone, Droid, BlackBerry, and even iPods. When attached to a pant loop, Clip Hanger won't poke when you sit down. And for women, Clip Hanger easily attaches to any purse strap. Carry a phone in your pocket? Simply use one finger to pull it out with Clip Hanger. Clip Hanger is thin and simple, has a one-year warranty against breakage, and prices start at only $10.95. With your Clip Hanger purchase, we'll also send you the auto hook for your car and ship everything to you absolutely free. See the amazing Clip Hanger and the Clip Hanger light with its built-in LED flashlight at myphoneclip.com. To order, call 801-719-2680. That's 801-719-2680. Or visit myphoneclip.com to get your Clip Hanger today.
This is Free Talk Live. You can call in and take control at 1-800-259-9231.
Calling in at 1-800-259-9231. This is Dale.
And Nick.
And Stephanie.
And we have a caller. Let's take our next call. We've got a call from Vince in Indiana. Vince.
Hello. How are you fine folks doing this evening?
Hi, I'm doing
very
great.
Well,
how are you?
Thanks.
You guys are, I'm watching you on the podcast. You guys look good, so.
But, thank you, Vince.
I just wanted to mention that this last caller, you know, one of the reasons why we have age and majority laws is, you know, for contracts. So a 40-year-old doesn't engage in a contract with a 16-year-old, say they wanted to get married.
In some states, it's legal for anyone to marry a 14-year-old, isn't it?
It varies. 16 is a fairly common age of consent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's not universal.
It varies from state to state.
Typically, there's a parental consent requirement as well.
It varies from state to state. All those contracts are generally accepted from one state to another. If a state has decided to validate a particular type of contract, then other states typically are expected to recognize those contracts.
But the one thing I've always stressed is we should get rid of our age of consent laws.
Entirely?
Entirely.
So a 5-year-old should be able to enter into a legally binding contract?
If they can do it.
I don't believe in age of consent laws, per se. I like the notion of preventing someone from entering a contract who's not able to, and someone really young is not able to. to consent to certain things.
Yeah,
but
I don't
believe necessarily an age of consent law is the way to deal with that. I think the way to deal with that is to challenge any particular. Someone tries to enter a contract with someone who's too young. Say, no, no. You know, the parents, for instance, say, no, no, you can't get married to them and go to court and say, look, this is why my child's only this old and this is they're not able to,
right,
do that.
I can see that working as well. But, I mean, you're going to eventually reach there's going to be a given standard that's typically accepted based on age.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I mean, there's going to be a generally accepted minimum standard. I can't imagine anyone saying a four-year-old.
That's totally different than having a law. You know.
Yeah, and that's culturally a thing, too. That culturally, there's going to be a sense of this is too young. You know, this right. age is too young to consent to, what, depending on what it is, too, right? It's like age of, there'd be a
right.
typically an age where you say, well, it's okay to say that.
Like, maybe
know,
a 12-year-old could enter into a contract to babysit for someone else's kids, but a 12-year-old couldn't enter into a marriage contract and have
right.
other people recognize that contract as legitimate.
And I would generally consider that. That's pretty young to say consent to sex or something, too.
For 12-year-olds?
Yeah,
I think most cases, sure, absolutely. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think people generally agree with things like that. But
And the other thing is, I'm not going to... Maybe if a 15- or 16-year-old wants to go get married or have sex or whatever,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to stop them by putting them in jail. I don't think that will help them at all. You know, maybe they're not making the best decision in the world, or maybe they are. Who knows? It's not really my place to judge that, and I'm not
right.
going to... I agree.
I don't think age of consent laws are going anywhere anytime soon, most likely, though. How do you feel about... Do you see the sort of arbitrariness because all of a sudden this is about gay marriages, that all of a sudden... The federal government is stepping in and stepping out of its boundaries in terms of what it's supposed to have the power to do to interfere with state contracts.
Yes, but I don't think that's the federal government's purview to enter into saying who you can and can't associate with or who you can and can't contract with.
And as Jackie brought up before, it's historically been used for kind of these nefarious purposes, like mm-hmm. preventing certain, interracial couples from getting married or whatever.
In fact, the whole notion of getting a license from the government to get married is fairly new. It only goes back less than a century
mm-hmm.
that government was even involved in marriage at all, and it was specifically to prevent interracial marriages. When they created the notion of a marriage license, it was saying you have to come to us and get permission to enter into this contract, which had traditionally always been handled outside of government, and it was just generally recognized and understood by government once it had been entered into. But when you had to start going to the government to request permission, that was so they could deny permission to interracial couples.
And do you think that stopped babies of multiracial babies from being born?
No, of course not.
No, I don't think so either, which was probably...
This made them be born out of wedlock.
Yeah.
When the parents would otherwise have liked to get married.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of sad. As I understand it, I don't know, maybe someone could Google this for me, but I thought I heard somewhere that Alabama still had a law against interracial marriage on the books as late as, like, 1990 or something like that.
They may have had it on the books. I wonder if it probably was unenforceable, though. I mean, a lot of laws are left on the books.
Although, I mean, some places still have these, like, sodomy laws, you know, that are seldom enforced, but they could enforce them if they wanted to.
I believe that was overruled.
Yeah,
any laws like that are now not valid because the Supreme Court said
it was
no.
recent. I was in high school when that ruling came out. So as recently as, I forget what year it was, but I think as recently as about 6 years ago, sodomy laws were still being enforced.
Yeah.
Which is essentially...
A lot of them were going away state to state, and finally the federal government said, nope, and sweepingly said no more. And that really blew my mind. I really did not expect a court to come in and say... You know, and it was based on the notion of invasion of privacy, which is fascinating because they invade your privacy for any number of things.
Yeah,
so
they don't have a problem with it.
You would think that's a precedent now. Oh, wait, we get privacy. We have a right to privacy now. So anything we're doing in private that's not hurting anyone, we can do.
Yeah.
But that's, of course, that wasn't carried through to its logical conclusion.
Yeah, well, the courts don't rule. Unfortunately, the courts don't rule based on logic. They rule based on largely like career politicians, and maybe they're a little bit less influenced by what the public thinks, but people who are on the bench do tend to just give these rulings now based on how they feel about a particular issue. And I think it felt very repressive to be essentially criminalizing acts between consenting adults.
Right.
I mean,
yeah. Well, that's probably more. I would say probably at least half of the sex acts that people engage in could be classified that way, depending on how it's classified. Because that's anything but the traditional act of sexual intercourse. So that, you know, think about it.
And let me tell you something. People can get awfully creative. You know?
Yes, indeed.
You know, it's like, you know, people invented airplanes and all kinds of stuff that, you know, we're, you know, God didn't mean for us to fly. We weren't born with wings, right? And yet we're flying. So, yeah. But when people do something sexually that's not, you know, a little out of the norm. The sexual don't be creative in that way. No,
it's unnatural. It's not God's will.
I mean, the sexual code, what was commonly accepted by a lot of Christian denominations is not even in the Bible. I mean, a reference to the missionary position is not in the Bible. That was made up by people in the clergy hundreds of years afterwards. I forget the name of... I think they eventually got a sainthood. I forget who it was, but somebody made up most of these rules in the very early days of the Catholic Church, and they just stuck
around. So you invent something that gives millions of people hang-ups years into the future, and you become a saint. That's pretty impressive.
What do you think about that, Vince?
I don't know. I enjoy listening because I like all the different viewpoints, and that's one of these things I've always been afraid of. So,
do you have anything else on your mind tonight?
Well, I'm going to have to study this more on these jury trials because I'm going to law school, and I'm learning something a lot about jury trials. That how much of that's changed over the years from when the sheriff would get the jurors to participate.
Hmm.
And they didn't have your name, your address, phone numbers, where you worked, your credit ratings. It's all been privatized and sent to the clerk's office, who either use DMV records or voter registration records. And that's
so you're talking about, are you talking about the jury selection process?
Jury selection process.
Okay.
Why should both the prosecutor, you know, in a criminal court, what good could the prosecutor and the defense lawyer want to know people's names?
I think that would be interesting to explore some more. You might want to, I would suggest calling back in and give us an update on the jury selection process and what you think about that. All right. Thanks for the call, Vince. When we get back, you can call in and control the show yourself at 1-800-259-9231. This is Free Talk Live.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Nestle Toll House Morsels. There are a million reasons to bake with Toll House. Find yours at verybestbaking.com. A balanced diet is important, but so is the occasional treat. Working with your kids to bake a dessert from scratch helps them to appreciate it even more, and it keeps them from resenting having to eat their veggies every other day. Plus, baking is a perfect excuse to spend time with your kids, since just being together is a treat. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
Have you been thinking about starting a website? I'm going to tell you about a great offer from HostGator. HostGator is a worldwide leader for web hosting, and they make it easy to get your own .com domain name. You create your very own website with their free site builder tools and templates. Sign up at hostgator.freetalklive.com to receive your first month completely free. Whether you want a personal blog or a complete e-commerce business website, let the experts at hostgator.freetalklive.com host you.
What is a wind generator?
How can the wind produce power for a small cabin?
How can wind energy be stored and used during an emergency?
Can I assemble my own wind generator?
For answers to questions about wind power, visit windbluepower.com. Did you know the wind can provide your family with emergency power? It can with a wind generator from windbluepower.com. Learn how our amazing LifeBreeze wind generator kit starts charging a 12-volt battery and just 6 mile per hour wind. Or see the new Cyclone X2 dual kit featuring two wind generators on just one tower. And learn why schools and universities across the country utilize our products to teach about wind power and alternative energy at windbluepower.com. All kits qualify for a 30% IRS tax credit for residential energy efficient property. Enter coupon code RADIO for a 5% discount at windbluepower.com. That's windbluepower.com or call 800-976-0026. That's 800-976-0026.
In a coming apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, boating, tow line, shipyard, or decoration. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive a free 100 feet of 550 paracord. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Go solar for cheap. Want to use solar power but the price is too high? Now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200 at 123cheapsolar.com. Don't laugh. We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch the step-by-step videos that even non-handyman types can use. We offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to 123cheapsolar.com or call 800-713-0486. 800-713-0486. Reduce your foreign oil dependency when you go green with 123cheapsolar.com.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
This is Free Talk Live. You can call in and take control at 1-800-259-9231.
Call in and control the show at 1-800-259-9231.
And MemoryDealers.com offers the world's largest selection of discounted optical transceivers, including SFPs, GBICs, XFPs, ZenPaks, and X2s that are 100% compatible with all major networking equipment manufacturers, including Cisco, 3Com, Foundry, Alcatel, and HP at up to 99% off list price. Memory Dealers can also offer customized solutions for your transceiver requirements, including private labeling. Memory Dealers is your trusted source for all your networking and telecom accessory needs. In stock and ready to ship via overnight delivery. MemoryDealers.com.
Thank you, Stephanie. This is Dale.
And Nick.
And Stephanie.
And Stephanie. And we must have hit a nerve or something, because all of a sudden our amp lines lit up like a Christmas tree. So we have callers. Let's go ahead and take some. Caller, you are on the air.
Hey, Dale, it's Ty in Tennessee.
Hi,
hey,
Ty.
Probably one of the reasons the lines are lighting up is it's real hard to hear the callers. I don't know if I'm actually going to be coming through.
You know what? I think we addressed that during the break, because we did notice
great.
A sound issue with the last caller, and I think it's better now. You sound a lot louder to me, so I'll find out from some of our listeners if they're hearing you better as well.
Kind of like the GCN feed was coming through a little bit faint, too.
Yeah, it sounds that way, but I think they did actually pod the levels up, so
yeah,
we got that ironed out.
Cool.
One of the joys of live radio.
It's
yeah,
lovely,
sir.
Hey, my first night trying to handle the show. During...
A good topic. I think that the callers that I was able to hear hit a lot of the good points. You know, the big thing is to get the state not involved with contracts between people.
Hallelujah.
It's up to the people how they do it, you know? It's up to people. Let's let people be.
Yeah, again, if they're not harming anyone, and assuming they're equipped to make a decision about entering into a contract, again, someone who's way too young or who doesn't understand what they're getting into, you know, that's understandable. Or for some reason they're like impaired in a way that would prevent them from being able to consent to a contract, then, you know, other than that, aside from that, let people be. Let consenting adults enter into contracts with each other.
And how often do, like in today's society, how often do people sign contracts that they're legally bound to by the system of contract law as it is, but that they never read or they don't understand or whatever, but you signed it, so you're bound to, you know, like,
right.
Especially when I'm thinking of, like, you know, when people get released from jail and there's these terms or, you know, of your bail or whatever, and then it's like, how can you really understand that? And if you have any objections, you can't exactly negotiate.
Oh,
you know?
I love there's usually language in there that, you know, you're signing saying that you understand this, when in fact the legal matters involved, usually when the state itself is trying to get you to enter into a contract about jail or some obligation, it's actually quite elaborate, the law that you're expected to understand. They want you to sign that document, though. Try to tell them, no, I don't fully understand all the ramifications of this.
Yeah.
And they don't want to answer your questions about it. So.
Yeah. Or even like, so, you know, sometimes when you sign like a cell phone contract, there'll be a clause in there, and it's like, well, whoa, I don't remember reading that. You know, there's a $300 early termination fee. Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm about to pay a fee because I know I'm never going to get it. I'm never going to get this resolved. You know, the banks with all their lawyers and their stuff and they can report stuff, and I'm never going to get these issues resolved. But I had fees that stuck on my account that I had never heard of in my life.
That's so infuriating.
I tried to fight them on it, and I've given up. If I want my life to go on and be able to do banking, I just have to deal with this and suck it up and take it. So, Nick, you had something.
Well, I was going to point out that the idea getting the state out of the marriage contract, while it allows people, for instance, gay couples to essentially enter into a marriage, enter into a contract. What it also does is, number one, it takes the state out of the equation in terms of approving, because that's where this gets muddied up, is that a lot of people, especially on the religious right or who are just politically conservative, they object to the idea of state-sponsored, state-issued licenses for gay marriage because they see that as a state endorsement. And if you really want to address that issue, just get the state out of it entirely, because if the state is not involved in marriage, well, who do you have left? You have individuals, and then individuals don't have to, you know, in terms of what the big debate now is, would you call it marriage? A lot of people say, oh, well, I believe in civil unions. That's a supermajority think that basically gay couples should have all the same functional rights.
They just don't want to call it. You don't get the name. They don't want to call it that.
Well, but if you're a member of an Orthodox Christian denomination or something like that, I could see why your personal views, you wouldn't call it marriage.
Sure.
But those churches are still free not to perform the ceremonies.
Don't perform it. Don't recognize it.
You don't have to recognize it personally as marriage. You don't have to call it marriage.
Don't call it what you want, you know. But I expect the couple's going to call it what they want, too. So, yeah. You know.
Some immoral practices by places like hospitals, you know, that deny gay couples from visiting each other when they're sick.
That's one of the worst things about
the whole process.
That's
something the state isn't involved in. The state is involved quite a bit in hospitals. And there's also a lot of hospitals are religiously based. You know, the Catholic Church is involved with many hospitals as well.
Yeah, they run a lot.
That I think people need to address, too, is when they see this injustice, they need to take that up with that particular hospital, if they're denying people from seeing somebody they love just because they don't agree with their sexual preference. That needs to be addressed.
It seems like that would be like a customer service thing, right? If you're running a hospital and you want to serve your customers, well, you're going to let them have whatever visitors they want that are going to cheer them up and make them feel better. But no, the government steps in and they have these laws like HIPAA, the privacy regulations and stuff, and all these other federal laws and state laws that say that, you know, like restrict people from getting visitors. And so it just goes against what seems natural.
Is it actually the state that gets involved with that, or is that just a hospital policy?
It can be both.
Yeah, it's probably both.
It can be both, but I think that there is some, as Stephanie was pointing out, there's some law that goes into why the policy exists, because there is liability through things like HIPAA if you're letting just anybody. You can't just let anybody and everybody wander in.
Thinking of liability issues. So much comes down to liability issues. People are being afraid of being sued.
But if it was, if it was stripped down to the hospital, you know, just saying, no, you can't visit your partner because you're gay, that would be, in most if not all parts of the country, that would be very bad PR. I can't imagine that attracting more people to the hospital and attracting more donations.
Yeah.
And I think that's the culture has changed. And there was time not that long ago when it wouldn't have been that bad a PR. I mean, fortunately, the culture has changed a lot in the last 20 years, especially in the last 10 years, where that's not cool in the general view to discriminate so blatantly against.
Yeah, and what a good thing that is, that, you know, most people aren't like going, yeah, that hospital didn't let those gays in, you know.
I think a lot of it just has to do with gay people coming out to their friends and family, and everybody knows somebody personally now. So all of a sudden it's personal. It's like, wait a minute, now they're discriminating against my buddy Susan or Joe, whatever, or my sister or my cousin.
There's still some haters out there. There's definitely still a lot of anti-gay animosity out there.
It's
not as acceptable anymore, and it's not as pervasive as it was. I would think that now it really is a minority of people who are out and out. You know, they dislike gays, they hate them, that kind of thing. I think that's a relatively small group of people.
There's still a lot of homophobia though in the culture. I mean, like, Dale had a Facebook post about this a while ago.
Oh,
like,
I did?
Guys that say no homo, like, whatever they.
Oh, right.
You know?
I did a joke about it. Someone started adding no homo whenever I say anything gay, which was a joke on my part because I say a lot of gay stuff on Facebook. So if I start adding no homo, you know, every time, and it's also silly because I am homo. So it's
exactly.
It was sarcastic, but anyway.
You should say no hetero.
Yeah, no hetero. I don't know. If I say something, oh, you know, Stephanie, your hair looks nice today. No hetero. You know. Oh, I like those shoes, Stephanie. No hetero. Just so you know, I'm not hitting on you.
Exactly. Well, but yeah, and then there's the double standard between, you know, men and women. Like, you know, if I walk down the street, like, with my arm around a girl, and, like, even if we're just friends, like, everyone's like, oh, that's so beautiful, you know. But if two guys walk down the street together, there are certain people who would look at that and say, oh, bleh,
lot of homophobia is actually sexism-based.
Yeah.
It has to do with gender stuff because, you know, women can get away with it, and it's like, well, that's okay. Women can be affectionate together. But
right.
Two guys, totally hetero, and just, you know, like, you, the guys just aren't allowed to do that.
Yeah, oh, dude,
you can't
dude,
express
get
just
off
a
me.
Little bit of affection, you know, and just have your arm around a friend or something. Yeah. You ever see guys hug too? They have to hit each other. They can't hug normally. You have to smack them.
Or the Christian side hug.
A violent hug, you know, or the Christian side hug.
I guess the only straight guy in the room. I have straight friends who I hug.
You don't seem like the type that has to do that. It's just like the straight type, you know, the insecure guys.
The Neanderthal types. Well, I think people are more aware of the insecure types now, and they don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Ty, thanks for the call. And when we come back, you can join in by calling 1-800-259-9231. This is Free Talk Live.
Have you ever wished that you could buy, sell, and trade in silver in your community? Del Valle Silver has a no-cost turnkey setup for you. You recruit 6 to 8 businesses in your area to accept Del Valle Silver rounds as barter currency, and your wish is granted. You get paid, and you promote the use of real money. This isn't like so many other silver currency setups where it's really just a system to sell high-priced rounds. It's a free market system based on Austrian economics. DelValleySilver.com. DelValleySilver.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.